This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
I saw this yesterday, and this may come as no surprise to you, but there's a part of it that was a surprise to me. Former Arizona State coach Herm Edwards received a five-year show cause penalty from the NCAA for recruiting violations. This occurred during the COVID-19 no-visit period. The punishment against Edwards, which started on April 15th, is one of the longest show cause penalties handed down to a coach in NCAA history.
I think we can pretty much be certain the coaching days are over.
For Herm?
For Herm.
Yeah, he's 69, but still, right. I would think so. Others that received penalties on his former staff include equipment employee Eric Bowman. God. The show cause penalties ranging between 3 and 10 years by the NCAA. Arizona State self-imposed a postseason ban for last season and will vacate 9 of its 10 wins between 21 and 22 for the use of one or more eligible players. Here's the other thing that was interesting to me. The school also agreed to disassociate for 5 years with Regina Jackson. She is the mother a former Arizona State quarterback, and LSU Heisman Trophy winner. And this guy is going to go maybe number two in the draft, Jaden Daniels. Jackson was alleged to have paid for flights and lodging for Arizona State recruits who impermissibly visited during the COVID dead period. That's kind of weird. Disassociating itself with a mom whose kid no longer plays there and left there to go play for someone else.
Goodness.
It's a tingled web.
Yes.
The former staffers who are contesting portions of their cases include current Las Vegas Raiders coach, I should say, Antonio Pierce. He submitted a written statement to the NCAA. Now, they still have this Committee on Infractions committee, and they have a chief hearing officer the NCAA has, which seems like that would be a committee that would be disbanded given all the, you know, looseness of, mm-hmm. you know, NIL and things like that. That's previously what they used to investigate people for, is paying people. Praised Arizona State for its exemplary cooperation in the case, Jimmy.
Okay.
So
way to go, Arizona State.
They were exemplary in their cooperation.
You were great about not lying about cheating.
Well, I mean, there is something to be said for if somebody asks you something directly and then you say, yes, I did it, or...
Yeah, you own it. You live up. You know, accept it.
Mm-hmm.
The punishment, whatever. You own up to it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but how many teams self-reported and they basically got the book thrown at them when they were for minimum to... I don't want to say minor for infractions, but they discovered a problem. They report it and be like, hey, we fixed this problem. This is what we're doing. And then the NCAA says, yeah, but we hate you, so we're going to just throw the book at you.
I don't know that there were that many cases.
Notre Dame football got it because of the trainer taking tests for people.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA had no idea that was going on. No clue. Notre Dame reported it, said we've corrected the problem, this is how we've done this, X, Y, Z, and then...
But don't you think they still deserve a penalty for that?
There's a difference between a penalty and, like, they'll say this time, hey, we really appreciate you working with us, and then they'll... The next time that somebody does something, it'll be, hey, we acknowledge you worked with us, but we're still going to throw the book at you. Like, NCAA has no subpoena power. They have to be told everything that happens. Somebody has to spill the beans. They can't investigate anything on their own.
Look at you feeling sorry for Notre Dame. I mean,
I think it's ridiculous that there's even this committee to begin with anymore.
Well,
and there's no consistency in the NCAA when they do use it.
I mean, welcome to the last 50, 60 years.
That is fair, that part.
Yeah. I mean, look at Oklahoma State. If anybody has the rights to kind of cry a little bit about the NCAA or cry a lot about the NCAA, it's Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and that's why I just think there's more to that story.
Yeah. Yeah, there probably is.
And that's why they got hit hard.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jaden Daniels is rumored to be the number two pick of the Washington Commanders, but supposedly he doesn't necessarily want to go to the Commanders because it was kind of awkward when they did his quarterback workouts because they brought in three other guys at the same time. It's like, why would you do that? It was a little bizarre and a little unorthodox.
Three other quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Well, because they wanted to see how they looked in comparison to each other.
Generally, on those draft kind of visits, you bring them in one at a time. So the
okay. Well, you asked the question why you would bring them in all at the same time because you wanted to compare them.
Right. But I mean, that apparently is a little unorthodox, and apparently he found some of the things a little bizarre. But maybe they think he's a little bizarre too.
Wait, you're saying that there's competition in the NFL? No way.
Yeah, that seems like he's looking for an excuse not to want to go there.
Possibly. That's possible. And Caleb Williams, meanwhile, is expected to be the number one pick overall by the Chicago Bears. So I don't know how that's going to work out for him or them. The Bears haven't always exactly picked the right quarterback, but they've got new people in place, a new brain trust there at Hallis Hall. And so we'll see if they can get that thing turned around for them. But it's crazy how it's not necessarily worked out for them. So we'll see. 6:38 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to WT973.com for that. Or the mobile app, Visual Edge IT Hotline. The mobile app is presented by Happy State Bank. Caitlin Clark's going to get paid, Jamie. She's going to get paid handsomely, apparently, by Nike.
Big time.
Big time. The deal could be worth up to like $28 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of cash. But she's going to help them sell a lot of shoes. This is a deal that could last as long as 8 years and includes a signature shoe for her. So a lot of people were upset about the amount of money or lack of money that the WNBA is paying her, or even others that get drafted, or even others that play. But I mean, it's a relatively short season. I get it.
Supply and demand.
It is.
When the tickets start being hot tickets to buy and people are dying to go, then they'll get paid more. But up until that point, that's just not going to—it's simple business.
Right. It's just business, right? Right. That's what the job pays. I mean, it's not
a choice between male and female. It's what do people want to go watch? Mm-hmm. Go watch a WNBA game. They're not usually packed.
Yeah.
They're not in the biggest arenas for a reason.
Right. She had, get this, in her last year at Iowa, well, maybe last couple of years, she earned about $3 million in NIL money at Iowa and deals with State Farm and Gatorade, among others, according to On3.com.
It's good money.
It's good money. It's good money.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Today is 4/24/24. 4/24/24. Frontwards and backwards, 4/24/24. Here's Jeff McGuire with this day in sports history.
I don't feel like I can follow that up. I mean, nothing here is that amazing.
Give it a whirl.
1901, very first baseball game in the American League was played. Chicago White Sox win against the Cleveland Blues 8-2. Other games were rained out that day.
White Stockings.
Sure. They weren't the White Sox until, 1910?
Okay. Oh, well. All the way to 1910.
Think it was that late? In 1917, New York Yankees left-handed pitcher George Mordridge no hits the Boston Red Sox 2-1 at Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
1957, Chicago Cubs pitchers walk a National League record 9 Reds in the 5th inning.
That's
not good.
Not good.
1962, on the flip side of that, Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Sandy Koufax, second career 18 strikeout performance in a 10-2 win over the Cubs in Chicago. 1978, Angels Nolan Ryan strikes out 15 Mariners. It's the 20th time he has 15 in a game. 1994, David Robinson score ties the 7th highest total in the NBA with 71. That's a bunch of points. 2004 NFL Draft. Ole Miss quarterback Eli Manning, first pick by
San Diego Chargers.
See, I knew Chuck would get that one.
And then he
had a great career with them.
Basically strong-armed them, put a gun to their head, knife to their back, demanded to be traded elsewhere.
2016, the number 9 Texas Tech men's tennis team made history and clinched a share of the program's first Big 12 regular season title with a 4-2 victory over number 4 TCU on Senior Day at the McLeod Tennis Center. And in 2021, junior Braxton Fulford ripped a 3-run double down the left field line with 2 outs in the 8th inning to lift number 5 Texas Tech to a 4-1 win over Baylor at a sold-out Danlaw Field in Rip Griffin Park.
Nice. Way to go, Brax.
It is National Pigs in a Blanket Day.
It's a good day.
Yeah, it's a good day. Do you dip that in mustard or anything?
Ketchup.
Ketchup, okay. Jeff, mustard?
I mean, not normally. I don't know that I'd be opposed to it.
Okay.
But normally I just eat them because they are awesome.
I like a little mustard with mine.
Happy birthday, Kelly Clarkson, who's 42. Barbara Streisand, 82.
Cedric, I didn't know she was still alive.
Well, we haven't talked about her death yet.
We have not, but I mean, it just...
I imagine when she passes, there will be conversation.
I think if you'd asked me dead or alive, I think I would have said dead.
Cedric the Entertainer, 60. Chipper Jones, 52. And Carlos Beltran is 47. And on this day in 1980, an ill-fated military operation to rescue the 52 American hostages held in Tehran ends with 8 U.S. servicemen dead and no hostages rescued. With the Iranian hostage crisis stretching into its 6th month and all diplomatic appeals to the Iranian government ending in failure, President Jimmy Carter ordered the military mission as a last-ditch attempt to save the hostages. During the operation, 3 of the 8 helicopters failed, crippling the critical airborne plans. The mission was then canceled at the staging area in Iran. But during the withdrawal, one of the retreating helicopters collided with one of 6 C-130 transport planes, killing 8 service members and injuring 5. The next day, a somber Jimmy Carter gave a press conference to which he took full responsibility for the tragedy. The hostages were not released for another 270 days.
And that was after Jimmy Carter had been defeated by Ronald Reagan for the presidency.
That was after Reagan took the oath of office.
I was just getting ready to say, and when Reagan took the oath of office, not very many minutes after that, they released the hostages. That was a big middle finger to Jimmy Carter.
And that is this day in sports history.
All right. All right. It's time for your lucky local winning word this morning on 424-24, frontwards and backwards, at 6:50. Anybody want to take a wild guess what your lucky local winning word is for today?
Nuggets.
Nuggets is incorrect.
Wildcats.
Wildcats is incorrect. It is a National League East team, Braves. Braves is your lucky local winning word. All you have to do is go to DoubleT973.com, register that, and you could win some cash from DoubleT973 in the home zone, where they make your house a home every single day. Go to DoubleT973.com right now and enter this local contest, and you could be a winner. Braves is the winning word at 6:50 this morning here on DoubleT973. And just a reminder, on June the 20th, we're going to give away $2,500. We'll have details coming for that, how you can win that from Double T 97.3 in the home zone, and that will be at Two Ducks. All right, so just so you know, Jeff, the White Sox became the White Sox in 1904. The White Stockings were one of the American League's eight charter franchises when they asserted Major League status in 1901. Okay.
40. I'm waiting for 40 this year. 40 wins. We're not there yet. Not anywhere close.
I did not read the article.
We're not at six yet.
I saw the article. I did not read the article. I saw the headline. The case was being made for the White Sox to lose 120 games this year.
Oh, that'd give you 42.
That'd give me 42. I'd be pretty happy about that if they only lose 120.
Two extra days of excitement that you hadn't planned on, Jeff.
Like when Jamie said the White Sox are going to win 40 games on opening day because Chuck was complaining that the Rangers were playing the Cubs, and Jamie said, who do you want them to play, the White Sox? They're going to win 40. My genuine reaction, and I'm holding on to this all season. Really? We're going to win 40? You mean it? You swear, right? I can write that down?
No. That was a bit of a joke. I feel like you're holding me to that.
I am holding you. You've told me they're going to win 40 games. I'm anticipatingly waiting the 40 wins.
Oh, surely they'll win more than 40.
I don't think they will.
I don't know,
this
dude
is a bad roster.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. It's not looking good so far. What are they at right now, Jeff?
Five?
I think six.
Not good is the first answer.
The White Sox currently are, 3-20.
Yeah, 3-20.
3-20.
Woo!
My God.
Anybody want to accuse me of being a front runner?
No. Colorado is 6-18.
That's at least one out of every four. Yeah. I mean, the White Sox are winning one out of every seven, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, 6:54 this
eight.
Morning here.
One
on
out,
the
if they lose
drive.
Tonight, it'll be one out of eight.
Hard to get up for that, isn't it?
Air trooper, Jeff.
Hard to get up for that. All right, keep them rolling this morning here on the Morning Drive. Reminder, we'll have High School Fan Zone at 6, Astros and the Cubs tonight from Wrigley at 7 on 100.7 The Score. Rangers from Arlington tonight, they take on the Mariners game two of that series. And then the Rangers will entertain the Cincinnati Reds over the weekend. They'll entertain the Mariners tomorrow as well. It'll be a day game, getaway day for the Mariners tomorrow. The Rangers get to stay at home for the weekend. We'll continue this morning on the Morning Drive. We'll hear some thoughts and comments from Jerry Jones next, the owner, general manager, head man in charge, Dallas Cowboys.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
With Jamie Lett and Jeff McGuire, I'm Chuck Hines. Come to you this morning from the First United Bank studio. Look forward to hearing from you today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to DoubleT973.com for that, or the mobile app. Visual Edge IT hotline is open too at 806-771-0973. All right, the NFL draft is coming up, like tomorrow. So we'll have some things to talk about tomorrow with regard to the draft and the Cowboys. And unfortunately, no Red Raiders to speculate on being in the top 10.
Yeah, it doesn't appear that way.
No, it doesn't.
It would be a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, if anybody went in the first round, that'd be a surprise. The Cowboys are still trying to work things out, apparently, with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons. All are seeking long-term extensions. It would help the Cowboys, I think, with the salary cap, if they could do some of those things, kind of the old sign and, you know, immediate bonus and get you under the cap a little bit more and allows you to either A, sign some free agents or things along those lines. It is a little bizarre that the Cowboys haven't quite done that yet.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
You got what the word I'm looking for?
Piece of paper.
No. The you're in your cup. Smoothie.
Yeah.
You got a smoothie that your wife makes you, or you make every day.
My wife makes it every night, the night before.
When it's empty, is there any more left in the cup?
No.
That's where the Cowboys are. That's why they haven't done anything.
Did you get
they
extra
have an
sleep
empty cup.
Last night?
I got plenty of sleep last night.
Would appear.
They have an empty cup. They can afford Nothing. Their wallet has less dollars in it than mine does. Mm-hmm. And that's saying something. That's why they haven't spent anything in free agency. Well, they have nothing.
Let's hear from the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, on he's right now confident with his roster and being, quote, all in.
And I'll also add to that, candidly, without any way being defensive, we're very proud of our personnel, very proud of this roster, very much think this roster, without knowing right now how much the rookies are going to contribute, we're very, very feel good about the promise of the team that we're going to have this year with this roster. And I do principally because of what Steven said, we will have young players step up, no names that become names, because names have left and are off the roster, and so those guys have got to step up. You cannot play and run a team in the NFL without counting on this dynamic going on. And so we do feel good about these guys coming in. Is it ambiguous? Of course it is. It's ambiguous if you had a veteran out there. He could get hurt in training camp and you not have him again. So we're in an ambiguous business when it comes to projecting. But to answer your question, I think I'm answering it. But the question is, in my mind, about all of this, how do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in. All in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming on.
But they haven't signed anybody, Jamie.
That's interesting. That was an interesting little finish there.
The names, the no names become names.
Well, there's truth to what he's saying, right?
Yeah,
and that
there is.
You have to have young players step up, players that are not getting max contracts. Excuse me. Players that are not, maxed out financially, that are costing you a bunch of cap space, that you have to have some of those young guys perform. There's no question, and so there is truth in that. But there's also no guarantee that those guys are going to step up and make a huge difference for you.
Now, the Cowboys have drafted well in the past few years, which is one reason that you're having to pay some of these guys the contracts you're having to pay them. And there have been contributors that you've gotten out of the draft that have done really well for you. But, wow, Jerry, Uncle Fluffy showed up, didn't he?
Uncle Fluffy showed up. Oh, man.
Yes, that is exactly what I just called Jerry Jones.
All right, how about one more thing from Jerry, and then we'll get some more. This is on the excitement going into the draft with stale free agency.
Well, I know that I don't know when I've ever been in a draft that I didn't feel like the players we were drafting are going to be on the field for us and making significant contribution. I don't know that I've ever felt that. But today, you have to have rookies contribute or you aren't getting the value that you need to have. These are your lesser paid as far as the other relative to veterans. They're going to the good ones are going to get paid to have other days of more pay. But that's got to meld in with the overall management or it doesn't work. Because you've got 10 players getting 70% of the money. So you've got to have youth and you've got to have those players that fill in there. And how you fill it in is going to be the difference in the future. And frankly, probably has been if you look at it across the league.
When I handed you that sheet of paper, what did I tell you? What did I say? Jerry Jones said stupid things.
Yes.
That was the first thing I said. Actually, I said say thank you first because I was handing you Jerry Jones saying stupid things.
Yeah, you did tell me to say thank you first.
What did he say there?
Yeah.
Does anybody know? Does anybody have a clue?
This in the 8th Swing Center Challenge. Jerry Jones is the master of saying a lot without meaning a lot. This, the more Jerry talks, the happier I am the Cowboys fail. Wow. If Jerry said, one more time, I was going to drive off the road. this time to decaffeinate Jeff.
I've had my one cup of coffee today, guys.
Is that all you have is one?
One cup every morning. That's it.
Red Raider Two Guns. I'm entering the transfer portal as a Cowboy fan and not committing to another team. Yes.
He doesn't want to go anywhere. He just wants to leave.
He just wants to leave.
Just wants to not be here.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Jamie's question of the day on Double T 97.3 is brought to you by Kinetico of West Texas.
All right, gentlemen, we're going Red Raider football here. We're going Big 12 football. Could be Red Raider football. That's up to you guys.
Okay.
It's a very simple question. I want you to pick in order the top four finishers in the Big 12 conference this upcoming season.
The top four finishers for the Big 12.
I'm just going to suggest if I was you to not pick Texas or Oklahoma.
Okay, I'm not.
Okay, just wanted to throw that out there.
I appreciate that.
Good thinking there, Jamie.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the fact that you were just trying to help me out a little bit there with regard to...
And in the history of the Big 12, Oklahoma would be a really, really good pick to win the conference. So, that's a really good tip. That's great advice there, Jamie.
Top four teams. All right, based on what we know right now... And I hate doing it like this, but I think Utah, Oklahoma State, Kansas State. UCF.
Okay.
We have three of the similar teams. I do not have UCF in my top four. I have Texas Tech at number four. The schedule lays out for you very nicely. And while I'm not saying that you're going to run undefeated, you should do well with the schedule. So I'm going to take the doing well to finish at least fourth. Otherwise, it's the same list as Chuck. I don't have UCF in my top four. I have Tech taking over the fourth spot.
I have Utah, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and...
Tech.
And Tech. So clearly, Jeff is not worried that Baron Morton is healthy or not.
I believe in Taj Brooks.
Can't just hand off to him all day long.
Hide and watch.
Yeah, I'm going to go Oklahoma State, number one. I'm going to go Utah, number two. I'm going to go Kansas State, number three, and I'm going to take Arizona at number four.
Arizona. And see, the questions for me about Arizona is new coach, transition, all those kinds of things.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, they were really good last year, and they bring back a similar roster, a lot of experience, and yeah. Yeah, different coach.
Yeah.
Sure.
Somebody says this off the Yates Flooring Center chat line, which I will do. Oklahoma State won't finish top five this year. Chuck, big book it. Okay.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't hurt my feelings if that happened.
Mine either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they just got an awful lot of people coming back. And, you know, they got a
really good elite running back.
And then. Quarterback that appears to know what he's doing. This will be his 22nd year there in college. Alan Bowman.
I mean, we can say it right. It's his 7th year in college. It's not his 27th year in college. That's different.
We can say it right.
Saying it right is enough to get the point across.
I know, yeah. You don't even have to exaggerate.
No.
That's true. Seventh year. I wonder how many degrees he's got. For those 7 years.
I'm going to guess two. I think he got one from Tech, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Did he graduate before he left?
And have no
I believe he
care.
I believe that.
Well, if he graduated from Tech, he's a Red Raider.
Mm-hmm.
You think Alan Bowman's a Red Raider?
No.
Yeah.
I don't.
Me neither.
He might have a degree from Texas Tech. It's so funny you bring up the multiple degrees because I remember, it probably deservedly so, one morning of a kickoff breakfast, I said that basically if you didn't get a master's degree and you were playing football, that you have wasted your opportunity. And the head football coach at the time, Matt Wells, happened to be listening, probably because just wanted to see what we were doing, and kind of chastised me for, didn't kind of, he did chastise
me. He did.
He did chastise me. You wasted opportunity. Do you know how hard it is? I'm like, well, yeah. Do you know how hard it is to play college football and get a degree? I'm like, well, I'm just saying they've got every opportunity in the world to do that. It didn't exactly start off the conversation very well, did it, that day?
No, he put you in your place. That was fun. I just wonder. I mean, it took me a full 5 years to graduate from college. I graduated from JUCO first, so not all my credits transferred, all that good stuff. And then graduated from Tech. It took me full 5 years, which I think is somewhat normal. I don't think it's outrageous or whatever.
No.
But, I mean, how many... What are you, 7 years?
Right.
I mean, like, it feels like you have to, like, completely change. Okay, I've done one degree in English. Now I'm going to switch it to biochemistry. You know, I mean, just completely change. Unless you're, I mean, who goes to school? Just a normal student for 7 years.
I think.
Unless you're a doctor.
Right. No, I think Tony Bradford on Thetford and Ashby Saturday, I think he said four, but at least three pieces of paper from Texas Tech that he'll walk out of here with. But I think it's four.
7 years, that's a lot of class time.
It is.
At a certain time, man, I don't know about you guys, but when I walked out of the last one, I'm like,
oh, yeah,
man, no, I don't want to ever walk into another classroom again in my life.
I was right
7 years of going to college?
Right.
It's supposed to be the best time of your life or whatever, but that's for like 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not for seven.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds like a beat down. Like, let me get on with the real world.
Mm-hmm.
But
right,
when
I'm
you
right
can sign an NIL deal worth, you know, $100,000, $500,000, whatever, you're already in the real world at that point.
That's somewhat fair. Alan's probably a really bright kid and probably, like I said, probably like you guys said, probably has a couple of degrees and will do well in the real world. We all know he's not an NFL quarterback, but gosh, 7 years college. And the same thing with the Chuck that was playing for, he's in his seventh year at Louisville.
I mean, you can only take so many Zoom classes too.
Oh, what a beat down.
Yeah. Sit in one of those right-handed desks if you're left-handed, man, just... That was enough for me. Get me out of here in 4 years.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thank you for being with us today with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you this morning from the First United Bank studio. Look forward to hearing from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. All right, I thought this was interesting. We'll see. We'll see if it was interesting. You guys will be the judge, and Jamie and Jeff will be the judge. So after the spring game scrimmage extravaganza event that took place on Saturday, Coach Joey McGuire, as is custom, was answering questions from the Fifth Estate. He had answered questions about, you know, the team and the starting quarterback, you know, Baron Morton, gave us an update on him. And then was also asked about who's number two. I was surprised when he said Cameron Brown, that he gave a pecking order, that he didn't give what usually is the standard answer in those things where you got to ask the question and the response you get is, well, we got to look at the tape, we got to analyze things, we're still evaluating, we got to talk to the players, want to have a meeting with everybody. Nope, he just said Cameron Brown, blah, 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 and here's why. And then towards the end, he was asked about the new rules that are coming into place. And, you know, I thought, okay, well, I'm interested in this. I'm like, okay, I wish I'd kind of asked that question because I was interested in what he thought about the two-minute warning specifically. And we heard from him on that yesterday, and he likes that just from the standpoint that potentially it gives them an extra timeout down the stretch as opposed to the, you know, when you have to just pile in the commercials if they don't have the TV timeouts that kind of just run like they should. Sometimes they get piled up and you have, you know, you get the touchdown and you have the extra point and take a break, and then they come back and have the kickoff and take a break, and it drives everybody crazy, okay? And then he was asked about the helmet communication. Now, for Texas Tech last year in the bowl game, and they were one of the first teams to play in the bowl games last year that used the helmet communication, and they did it a little bit different with how
they
did.
That's really a bad thing probably, right?
What, that they were one of the first?
Because it meant they were playing one of the first games.
Right. Yes, absolutely. No question. They were playing one of the first games.
Really no honor in being the first.
Right. So what they did was, and this is why he's upset, they used 8 helmets, 2 on offense, the starting quarterback and the backup quarterback, and 6 on defense, 2 for the inside linebackers and a safety and their backups. Then Coach McGuire and his 2 coordinators, Tim DeRuiter and Zach Kittley, were equipped with a radio pack connected to their waist and tied to their headsets, and a simple push of a button opened up the line of communications, and they could talk to as many as 3 defensive players on the field had the capability to hear calls. On offense, the quarterback was the only one. And the reason why this is important is because it eliminated having to use a bunch of signals, and part of this goes back to the whole Michigan scandal and the stealing of signs, okay, and trying to make this a little bit more judicious, right? Now, they had little or no rules about how this was going to be used during the bowl game, so each team had to agree to the kind of the set of rules, and this is what Tech and Cal chose to do. So Coach McGuire, in this article in Yahoo on December the 21st, he may regret this quote, he said, "However we get it passed, we need to get it passed, okay? We are hoping like crazy it gets passed for next year." Well, it got passed. And here's what Joey McGuire had to say about it getting passed.
On the other side, the flip side, man, I'm extremely frustrated with the helmet communication. I could send it to all y'all, our Dowdy can, my reply. I thought it was just ridiculous the way they decided to do it. I'm really frustrated because you had the perfect time in college football to get it right. And you chose not to. You chose to take the easy way out and decide, hey, let's just do it like the NFL. We don't play in the NFL. We don't huddle. Like, there's no point that you're going to not be able to – you're going to have to signal playing us. You're going to have to signal playing majority of college football. So you got one guy and you're talking to him and we're still having to signal. So the whole point of to be able to do this was to do the communication right to where we didn't have to signal. And we had that opportunity. We had, if you think about it, the momentum was in that phase because you could have used the situation with Michigan and everything, and we chose not to. So my frustration, I've literally tried to call everybody in the committee. I've talked to different people. I've talked to Coach Bowles now with the AFCA about my frustration because I went into a bowl game and we had 3 guys on the headset, and guys, we did not signal one single time on the defensive side of the ball. So that eliminates that right there on one side of the ball. Now you get the opportunity to choose how you want to do it on the offensive side of the ball, whether it's the O-line, the quarterback, and maybe somebody else, or you could just have the quarterback. But, man, I just think they fumbled that in a big way, and it frustrates me because you had the opportunity to really help change the game, and we chose not to. We chose to take the easy way out. And so that's kind of been my stance from the get-go. I've made how I feel known to, you know, everybody that's a part of it, and hopefully they revisit it whenever it's still the same thing, because you're not having a lot of teams huddle.
That's some of the comments from Joey McGuire. Your take on that?
Yeah, it sounds like that they could be doing more, and they elected not to. So my guess is that they're going to ease their way into it, and that in future years it'll be the way Coach McGuire wants it to be.
So part of his frustration, and we'll get a little bit more from him in just a moment, is you can only have one helmet dedicated on each side of the ball. So it'll have a green dot on it, and of course it makes sense for the quarterback, and you probably have one for the backup. But if you have a linebacker, in Tech's case, that's what they use. They use a linebacker, and most will do it, to call the signals. Well, if that guy goes out, then you have to have another guy come in with the same helmet, with a, you know, with a helmet also that's equipped, and the referee has to keep track of that. And it's just, I think his point of it is, it's not going to eliminate the sign stealing, because you're still going to have to steal, you're still going to have to signal in, and it's going to put more pressure on the officials to keep track of who's got the green dot on the helmet and are people violating that, as opposed to kind of how they did that, you know, in the bowl game.
Is the sign stealing a big problem?
I don't know, but I mean, they talked about eliminating that because of the Michigan problem, but using this helmet communication, and then they also talked about.
But that, I mean, have we heard any other stories of that?
I mean, there's sign stealing every year. There's the levels that Michigan went to last year,
which and they clearly were doing it illegally.
And they were doing
buying tickets and going to places and videotaping what they were doing and all of that stuff. Right, right.
Okay. He didn't get into any more.
I hadn't known that was an issue with others.
There's usually a team every year that gets in trouble, but I wouldn't call it.
That's the first time I heard of any of that. Was Michigan.
I would agree with Jamie, with the exception of when we gave the other team our signs, when that was, you know, Matt Wallerstedt, you know, 10 years ago when he was tanking Tech after he got canned.
Yeah, when he was telling other teams what we were doing.
Right.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.